From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present another episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is journalist and atheist-turned-Christian Lee Strobel, author of The Case for Miracles, A Journalist Investigates Evidence for the Supernatural. Let's now join Hank as he introduces Lee Strobel.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. I'm really excited to be in studio today because I'm having a conversation with someone who I really, really like. And he truly is one of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet. I'm talking about none other than Lee Strobel. Lee was an atheist turned Christian. I probably don't need to tell anybody about Lee because everybody knows about Lee. He was a former award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He's, of course, the best-selling author of more than 20 books. And the classic is The Case for Christ. I think that's the book that started it all. And Lee, I am excited to do this podcast with you today.
Well, I'm excited to be on with you, Hank. I was going to use those same words to describe you. You're one of the most interesting, well-informed people I know. So,
and we used to be neighbors.
Yeah, that's right. We used to live right near each other. And back when you had a studio out in sunny California, those were great days.
Why did we ever move out of sunny California? I mean, now you're in Houston. I'm in Charlotte. I'm cold as can be. I mean, you had a hurricane. I mean, we used to sit at the patio of these wonderful restaurants outside in the warm sunshine looking at the Saddleback Mountains. Why in the world did we do this?
Because we couldn't afford it. That's why we moved. Nobody can afford to live in California anymore.
I know. I used to go to your doorstep and look for like a glass of milk. You never left. I'd knock. Could I have some sugar? You'd never give me anything.
Oh, I tell you, those were great days, though. But I don't know how my son survives. You know, he's a professor at the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University, and living on a professor's salary in California, I sure don't envy him.
He's lucky he has you as his dad.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, The Case for Christ, I mean, we could talk about so many things, but The Case for Christ, what an incredible book. I mean, that's a book that started, if you will, a franchise of books that have really been revolutionary within Christianity all over the world.
Well, when you say it started that revolution, you know, you're the one that started the revolution going, because that book actually came out in September of, I believe, 1998 or 97. And it wasn't doing anything. Nobody was buying it. Nobody was talking about it. It was kind of languishing. And then you got a hold of a copy and invited me to come to California to be on your radio show, The Bible Answer Man. And that is what really launched that book, because you got behind it and let people know about it, and all of a sudden people said, maybe I'll give it a read. So I really owe you a debt of gratitude for getting behind that in an early way and exposing a lot of people to the book that otherwise they may never have read.
Well, if that's true, even in a small degree, I'm very, very grateful to have had a small part in the launch of that book, because it has been a book that has had such an incredible impact in the kingdom. So many people have come to faith in Christ. I mean, just think about the testimonies, Lee. I'm sure off the top of your head, you can think of people burned into your memory who came to faith in Christ. They found a copy of the book, and it became life transformational.
Oh, so many amazing stories. I'm so grateful for how God has used that book. You know, just yesterday I got a video from a guy who was lost his leg in Afghanistan, and somebody gave him The Case for Christ. He came to faith, and now he's in ministry today. And, you know, we have some funny stories. There was an atheist right after the book came out who was interested in astronomy, so he went to a bookstore to buy an astronomy magazine. sat down to look at it on a bench at the bookstore and sat on something. He pulled it out and he looked at it. It was a case for Christ. And he flipped through and he said, wait a minute, I'm an atheist. I don't believe this stuff. And he threw it down. And he said it was almost like a voice inside that said I needed to read the book. So he said, I picked up the book. I bought it. I read it. I came to faith in Christ. And it's funny because I just got a letter from him again a couple of months ago. He's now living in Kentucky and is part of a Baptist church, still following Christ wholeheartedly. All kinds of stories like that. There was one guy who was from China, an atheist, and his son, who was kind of a spiritual seeker, ordered the Case for Christ off of an online retailer. And so when the package came the next day, the father went to the door, and he thought it was for him. So he opens the box, and he says, the Case for Christ, what's this all about? He reads it, and he comes to faith. I mean, there's so many wonderful stories. You know, Evel Knievel, the great motorcycle daredevil writer, it played a key role in his conversion. So it's you know, I'm so thankful that that God has been using this book because, you know, a book can be read in China while you're asleep in North America, and God can be using it in someone's life all around the planet. It's in like 30, 40 different languages. So, and then the movie, The Case for Christ film, has really opened a lot of people's eyes to the story of my journey from atheism to faith, but also pointed them toward the book where they can get deeper information.
You know what's funny about that film? Obviously, I love you. You're a great friend, and I love the books. But I thought when that movie comes out, it is going to be another example of a cheesy Christian movie. I mean, I actually thought that.
Yeah.
And then I actually saw the movie. In fact, we were together in Orlando, I think
right.
It was. And I saw that movie, and I was absolutely mesmerized by it. I thought, wow, this is how a Christian movie ought to be made.
Well, thanks. You know, I'm so proud of the work that PureFlix did on that film. You know, Brian Burr, the screenwriter, John Gunn, the director, great actors, Mike Vogel, who played me, who's a strong Christian. It just, God's hand was on that, you know, and we showed up, Leslie and I showed up on the set. We prayed every morning, you know, with the cast and crew, even though many were not believers, but they wanted to participate as well. And, so we were able to use the movie as an outreach to the movie industry, to people who were participating in production who may not have been followers of Christ. You know, the film just turned out so powerfully. I don't take credit for it. It's not something I did. It was really the PureFlix and the team that put that together. And they were very kind to us. You know, they wanted to make sure the film was accurate. And it is. It's about 85% accurate, much more than most based on true story movies. They have to do some time shifting and some composite characters just to fit it all into 90 minutes. But overall, it's a quite an accurate depiction of what took place. And, you know, I know in Australia, when it's been all around the world, South Africa, South Korea, Nigeria, Papua New Guinea, which only has three movie screens in Papua New Guinea, and we were on one of them, Mexico, Brazil. And in Australia, a church rented a movie theater and showed it to the community. And that night at the movie, 22 people came to faith in Christ. Mm. So we're just thrilled with how God has used that film.
You know, when you were at the Chicago Tribune and you were an atheist, you had quite a temper. I mean, it's like a person I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's depicted in the movie.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I had a friend who watched the movie and he said, I didn't know you were such a jerk. And, you know, it's a testament to God's power to change lives.
Because, I wasn't going to say that, Lee.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, I was a narcissistic, drunken, profane, self-absorbed jerk. You know, what people saw was me winning awards for investigative reporting, but they didn't see the other side, which was me literally drunk in the snow in an alley on Saturday night. So, you know, I was a skeptic, an atheist, hostile toward Christianity and hostile toward believers. And so you can imagine when Leslie came to me and said that she'd come to faith in Christ, you know, you can understand the first word that went through my mind was divorce. I was going to walk out. But it was really a lot of the positive changes in her character and values that encouraged me to check out the faith and try to find out, is there any logical basis for it?
You know, so many people, use this tired, worn-out cliche, behind every great man, there's a great woman. But in your case, it is absolutely true. I mean, Leslie, she is a saint.
She really is. You know, that movie really shows it, because that whole time that she's a new believer and I'm an ardent atheist, there was so much conflict in our marriage, mainly coming from me. That it was disruptive. It was emotional, a lot of tears. And, but you know, through it all, every single day, she got on her knees and she prayed Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And she said, God, Lee's heart is like granite. I can't crack it open. I don't know what to do. It is only by your spirit that he's ever going to open his eyes to the truth of who you are. And she prayed that for me every day for that whole 2 years that I was on that investigative journey. And, you know, if you ask me what was the turning point, you know, was it the evidence? Well, yeah, I'm sure that was very important. But I don't discount the power of a praying spouse in that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what I mentioned earlier about the case for Christ is, I think, true. You created a franchise out of that. And I mean in a very positive sense, because you went on to many other case for books, the case for grace, the case for faith, etc. Now the case for miracles. So you have really used the method that informs the book Case for Christ as a way of communicating the truth claims of the historic Christian faith.
Well, you know, I go back to this amazing God we have, who, in a sense, he said, you know, Lee, you spent the first part of your life as a journalist in a secular world, as an atheist, doing a lot of harm in many ways with what you wrote and hurting a lot of folks and along the way. I'm going to take those skills that you have as a journalist that I've implanted in you, the skills of research and of interviewing and so forth, and I'm going to use them for my glory. And so he's taken those research and writing skills, and, you know, I don't have to be the expert in these books, because my approach as a person trained in journalism is to seek out experts, to seek out scholars with PhDs from Cambridge and Brandeis and Yale and major universities, and ask them the tough questions I had when I was a skeptic, and see, do they provide cogent answers, and then let the reader decide what their verdict is. So that technique of taking the reader along with me to investigate and going to these people, I think is powerful, because the kind of questions I ask are the kind of questions everyday people have. And what's interesting is these scholars who generally communicate just with each other, you know, and they write in these scholarly journals and nobody else reads, God's given me a ministry to take that reservoir of wisdom and communicate it to an everyday world where people can, like me, can understand it. One of the most fascinating, you know, and I've had, you know, so just some amazing interviews as a result. When I interviewed Charles Templeton, who was the former pulpit partner of Billy Graham for the Case for Faith, and a guy who had professed faith and became an evangelist with Billy Graham and then later turned into an agnostic, if not an atheist, and wrote an ugly book called Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. And how in the middle of that interview, when I asked him, well, who do you think Jesus is, began to weep because he said, I miss him. That was one of the most powerful moments of my life. And I've got that on tape. And sometimes I'll play it just to remind myself what it sounds like to hear someone long for Jesus the way he did. And by the way, I think there's evidence he did come to faith before he died, after that book was written. And then in my new book, The Case for Miracles, I went to the most famous skeptic in America, the most famous doubter, Michael Shermer, the editor of Skeptic magazine, and I said, build a case against miracles. And I let him spend three chapters in my book trying to build the case against the miraculous. And then the rest of the book showing that not only are there good answers to the kind of objections he raises, but there's an incredible positive affirmative case that God is still involved in divinely intervening in people's lives today.
You know, Michael Shermer is an interesting guy. I had dinner with him one night. I found him to be one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And he was kind and compassionate.
Yes.
He was so different from the typical skeptic.
Yes. And Hank, that's one of the reasons I chose him for the interview, because I wanted someone who would articulate a skeptical point of view, yes, but not be like a Richard Dawkins who, you know, gets up and tells people to ridicule Christians and make fun of them. You know, he's a nice guy. I like Michael Shermer. And we had a good time together, spent a day together out there at the offices of Skeptic Magazine. And, you know, I think he's wrong on a lot of things, but he's not obnoxious about it. And, you know, I continue to try to maintain a friendship with him. I hope I can influence him ultimately spiritually.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with best-selling author and Christian apologist Lee Strobel. Working to disprove the growing faith of his wife, an investigative journalist chases down the biggest story of all time with unexpected, life-altering results. The Case for Christ movie based on the true life story of Lee Strobel. To receive your copy of The Case for Christ movie on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. www.hankunplugged.org. Welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. On today's special edition, we're presenting an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Are miracles still possible? Best-selling author Lee Strobel trains his investigative sites on the hot-button issue of whether it's credible to believe God intervenes supernaturally in people's lives today. Be sure to read Lee Strobel's new book, The Case for Miracles. A journalist investigates evidence for the supernatural. To receive your copy of The Case for Miracles as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Lee Strobel, in their conversation.
You know, I want to get into something with you, and that is the Christian life itself. You had this incredible conversion, but I think, as I've known you, you have gone through, well, the pit. You know, Corrie ten Boom used to say, there's no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. But you've gone through some incredible trials as a Christian, and I think it's probably helpful for people to know that, because people see you as a success story, and you are. You're someone who has really reached the pinnacle in so many different worlds, but life has not always been easy for you, even as a Christian.
Well, yeah, you're right, Hank. I mean, 5 years ago, Leslie found me unconscious on our bedroom floor, and called an ambulance, and I remember waking up in the emergency room and the doctor looking at me and saying, you're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying. And I had a condition called hyponatremia, which is a drop in blood sodium, a precipitous drop in blood sodium. And the symptoms are mental confusion, hallucinations, seizures, coma, and death. What happens is your brain, because you lack the salt, the sodium in your cells, your brain cells begin to expand. And, of course, they're inside a confined space of your cranium. And I became mentally confused. I had hallucinations was on the edge of death. And, you know, it was a scary time in my life. And I wish, Hank, I could say I ran into the arms of Jesus, and that's who I sought my refuge in. But maybe because of the mental confusion from the hyponatremia, I didn't know where to turn. I felt very lost. I felt very confused. I had some very dark and scary hallucinations. And it was really, as I was coming out of this, and they have to raise your blood sodium level very carefully, because 25% of people who have this condition end up paralyzed or mentally disabled the rest of their lives. And so they raised it over a period of days, and it came back to normal. But I was still confused. And my son, who, as I said, has a PhD in theology, came up to me and said, Dad, I sense that you feel far from God. And I said, I do, and I don't know what's wrong. And he said, let me take you through a prayer. And he took me through a prayer exercise. It lasted about half an hour. And the point of the prayer was to empty myself, to say, God, I'm not right now at this point, as I come to you, I do not come to you. I'm not a best-selling author. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a father. I'm not a grandfather. I'm not a spouse. And systematically stripped away all these other identities that we often come to God with, and these prizes that we kind of come to God with as if we deserve special attention for one reason or the other, and to strip all that away until ultimately at the end, all it was just me as a redeemed child of God, in the presence of God Almighty, bringing nothing to the table, just a recipient of God's love and grace, and got down to that bottom line of who we ultimately are, in the presence of God, and he reconnected me with God at that moment, and it changed my life. You know, and now I can look back at what was a horrific experience and say, thank you, Lord, for taking me through that valley, because I came out the other end tighter in my relationship with you and more passionate about telling others about you, more aware of the brevity of life and the urgency of getting out this gospel to the world than I ever was before. But that was a really, really traumatic time in my life. And, you know, but Romans 8:28, which sometimes we quote flippantly and said, and say, oh, yeah, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and called according to his purpose. Yeah, we know that. But you know what? It's true. And even going through a dark valley like that, God can still redeem it for good and use it for good in our lives, as he has in mind ever since.
Yeah, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death somehow or other to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I mean, it's a real experience of suffering that demonstrates that the germ of our faith is absolutely real, it's true, and it's sufficient in all circumstances.
Yes, and that's a great word, sufficient, that in the depth of that struggle, when you're really facing death, when a doctor looks at you and says you're two steps away from dying, you know, to know that in the end, even though you're confused, even though you're suffering, in the end, God's grace is sufficient. His presence is sufficient. The reality of who he is as a father and we're adopted as his children, that's enough in the end. And we don't have to be smarter. We don't have to be more spiritual. We just have to be children adopted into his family, saved by grace, and revel in that relationship in those moments.
Did you know Nabil Qureshi?
Yeah, very well. Nabil was a good friend of mine. Yeah.
I mean, what an incredible testimony he had in the midst of suffering.
Yeah, and you know, I talk about him in my book because it was through some dreams that he had, some supernatural dreams, that he ended up coming to faith. There was a lot more to it. He obviously spent a lot of time looking at the evidence and so forth, but he had a supernatural dream experience that was very influential in him coming to faith. In my book, I talk about how God is using dreams in the Islamic world to reach people with the gospel, people in closed countries where there are no missionaries and so forth. But Nabil, you know, Nabil was he's just a brilliant guy. He was, you know, he's in his 30s. He was a medical doctor, had an MD degree, and then he had two master's degrees, and was pursuing his PhD. So he was brilliant, but had a big heart. I know his wife and child and Michelle, a great woman of faith. And, you know, I knew as I wrote a book on miracles that I had to include a chapter on why sometimes God does not intervene miraculously. You know, when you have someone like Nabil, whose testimony and books were influencing the world. Here's a former Muslim who becomes a devout follower of Christ, writes powerful books, incredible speaker, really having an influence in leading people to faith, and then to have him die of stomach cancer in his 30s, just as his ministry was really flowering, you scratch your head and you say, what in the world? And so what I did for my book, The Case for Miracles, I interviewed someone you know, Dr. Douglas Grotheis,
yeah,
from Denver Seminary. And Dr. Grotheis is a philosopher, and his wife is dying of a brain condition that is slowly robbing her of her cognitive abilities to the point where she doesn't know what a hairbrush is for, but she doesn't understand how to work a telephone anymore. And she's literally losing her mind and eventually will die from this condition. And she's young. They're young. You know, they're in their 50s. And he's been praying, of course, for a miracle for his wife to be saved from this horrific, slow death that she's undergoing. And God has not chosen in this world yet to heal her. And so I interviewed him extensively about that experience. What do we do when the miracle doesn't come? And Hank, it is, I think, the most powerful chapter in any book I've ever written. Because here you have a man who's a brilliant philosopher who can talk about the theology of this and the philosophy of why God doesn't always answer prayers in the way we want them. But he's also a man who knows what it's like to suffer, to lament. And he pours out his heart in this interview and his mind. And I just stand back in awe at how I know God is going to use that interview to encourage people who are in a similar situation.
Yeah, that's the essence. You find out that God is sufficient in all circumstances. I mean, going through the last year, my own cancer treatments with mantle cell lymphoma and being diagnosed with an incurable disease, I'm suddenly recognizing afresh that God is sufficient for everything. There's no need to grasp at this life because the life to come is really what we're looking forward to. However, in the midst of all of it, do I want to be healed? Absolutely, because I feel like I have much more to offer now than I did 10 or 20 years ago. And in addition to that, I want to see my kids who are still unmarried get married and, you know, all the things that are so wonderful about this life. But what we do now counts for all eternity. And I suppose that becomes ever more vivid in your mind. I mean, I need to use this time for God's glory, for the extension of his kingdom. While I'm saved by God's grace, ultimately what I do now makes a difference. There are degrees of reward in heaven, and it gives you a sense of urgency for using your life in an effective way to make a difference while there's yet time.
Absolutely. It really does. It says, I want to maximize every moment God's given me to make a difference for him and to tell others about him and to love him and to experience him in this world and to share him with family and friends. And, Dr. Grotheis, talking about this miracle that's not come in the healing of his wife, said, you know, at some point, he said, you come to a point where you pray what he called the prayer of relinquishment. And what he means by that is sometimes when we're so desperate to continue in this world, when we're desperately ill, as his wife is, that quest for a miracle becomes an idol. And even though we don't say it, sometimes our attitude can become, "I will love you, God, if you will heal me. I will be devoted to you if you heal me and do a miracle and save me from this fate." Which is an idol. And so he said, we had to pray a prayer of relinquishment, which says, Lord, we don't understand your ways are higher than our ways, your ways are greater than our ways. We want what you want. And you know, if there's something that you want us to go through for whatever purpose we don't understand, but you do, then that's what we want to go through. And it's sort of like the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is sort of a prayer of relinquishment. So I said, do you still pray for your wife? He said, sure, of course I do. But I've come to realize that God is sovereign, and we're not. And this is his business. It's not ours. And, we know that ultimately she will be healed. It may not be in this world in the way that we want it, but ultimately we know that she will be healed.
We'll pick up Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with journalist and apologist Lee Strobel in just a few moments. The Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI's growing array of outreaches have never been more needed than they are today. And that's why we won't be shy in asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute through your persistent prayers and generous financial support. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks for your gift, receive a copy of Lee Strobel's new book, The Case for Miracles. A journalist investigates evidence for the supernatural. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back after the break with more of the Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Christian apologist Lee Strobel on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Utilizing his journalistic and legal training, Lee Strobel set out to debunk the claims of Christianity, but came face to face with the truth. Don't miss Lee's true life story told in a major motion picture, The Case for Christ, One Man's Journey to Solve the Biggest Mystery of All Time. Christianity Today says The Case for Christ stands among the best films yet produced by the Christian film industry. To receive your copy of The Case for Christ movie on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Lee Strobel.
You know, The Case for the Creator, one of my favorite books. And I think about the fact that we can, as apologists, as defenders of the faith, make a case for the Creator. But there's the other side of it. As important as it is to demonstrate the evidence for God, especially in a naturalistic environment, a materialistic environment, an environment that's riddled with the hell of philosophical naturalism, as important as it is to make the case for the Creator, I think there's a sense in which the Creator has become more real than the very flesh upon your bones as a result of the adversity that you faced.
You're right, because so many people, unfortunately, in the church today have almost a deistic mindset. They wouldn't call themselves deists, but they'll think, yeah, I believe God created the universe. Yeah, I get that. The evidence of cosmology and physics and biochemistry and genetics and human consciousness really do point toward a supernatural creator who created the universe and life itself. But, you know, some people stop there. And God becomes a God who's confined to the pages of a book and to stories of the past and not a real presence in their life, who is not just their redeemer, but their best friend, not just, their savior, but someone they personally know and encounter and have a conversation with every day and who they follow his promptings and leadings in their life, that there's an ongoing dynamic relationship with God. And I think, you know, as I was working on the miracles book, I saw that a lot of people who don't really believe that God still cares enough or is present enough to intervene divinely in people's circumstances, because really their worldview is that God is distant, detached, and disinterested in us. They're deists, practically speaking. Which is sad, because they're missing the joy, really, of the Christian life, which is a relationship with God himself.
You know, one of the things I've really appreciated about you over the years, and I don't think we've ever talked about this, but I've looked at your life. I mean, we were talking at the beginning of this podcast about having lunch together in sunny Southern California. All of a sudden, you up and you move to Colorado. Later, you go to Houston. But you make these abrupt changes in your life. And that, to me, is a testimony of following Christ wherever he leads. And that's really what's happened in your life. I mean, there was a purpose for you to go to Colorado.
Yeah.
But there's a purpose for you now to be in Houston.
You know what? It's funny you bring that up, because I was thinking of this the other day, how the greatest adventure of the Christian life is saying to God, here I am, wholly available to you. Use me as you've never used me before. That's always my prayer. And sometimes God prompts you to go on these adventures that you never would have anticipated. I think of, you know, when I was at Chicago Tribune and had just come to faith, and I loved journalism. I loved newspapers. That's all I knew. I was trained as a journalist and was at the top of my profession and enjoyed it, having a front row seat to history and so forth. And then to have God prompt me to leave all that behind and enter into full-time ministry at a church with a 60% pay cut, I felt like it was a very risky thing to do. Although, as you've said many times, you know, it's never risky to fall into the arms of Jesus and to follow his path for your life. But it was interesting, when I was contemplating and praying about whether God was calling me to leave behind my career and to, you know, join the staff of a church, I got advice from Christians who told me, well, I don't know, you know, how are you going to put your kids through college? You can't do that with a 60% pay cut. And I had a lot of Christians who were expressing hesitations. And the funny thing was, my atheist father-in-law said, hey, you know, if you think that's what you ought to do, then you ought to do it. So ironically, I was getting encouragement from my atheist father-in-law, and a lot of Christians in my life were saying, boy, that sounds pretty dangerous to me, leaving behind everything and taking a flyer on something that you're not sure where it's going to end up. But what an adventure it was to say yes and to watch how God took me on a series of experiences that I never would have had otherwise. And then to be, you know, even in Colorado, which we love Colorado. Everybody loves Colorado. It's just a great place to live. California is great. Colorado is wonderful. And yet began feeling called to go down to Houston to be part of a church here that was doing some wonderful things, but also to teach at Houston Baptist University so I could try to leave a legacy with young people. And then we've started a institute called the Center for Strategic Evangelism to really try to innovate some new approaches to evangelism for a very different and hostile environment of the 21st century. So, you know, those are big steps to take, to pull up stakes and sell your house and move to a different state and everything. But every time God has led me into a decision like that, I look back at the end and say, you know, I would have been so impoverished had I said no? In fact, that was the ultimate thing to convince me to leave my journalism career and to go into the ministry. I pictured myself on my deathbed and thinking to myself, looking back, how would I feel on my deathbed if I looked back and said, I believed God was leading me in a direction and I said no because I was scared? How would I feel on my deathbed? I'd be devastated. If God is at work, you want to follow him regardless and trust that he's going to make the path straight.
I want to camp on that for a moment, Lee, because I think you can really speak to this as very few people can, particularly in the fact that you have the credibility, you get the street cred, you've done it. You've made these big transitions, but there are no do-overs. And I think about what you just said, when you're on your deathbed, how will you view your life then? Talk to the person that's listening in who is living his life within this security bubble, not willing to step out and really experience God, God being there, that there's no safer place than in a leap of faith, that you can take these steps and God is always there. And as you have found out, you have continually developed in some new horizon, and God has always been there to sustain you. But at the end of the day, even if you failed, you would not regret not stepping out on your deathbed.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think if somebody's in that position, I want to just encourage you to pray that prayer to say, here I am, God, wholly available to you. Use me as you've never used me before. And if you pray that prayer and you mean it, God's going to take you up on it. He's going to use you as he's never used you before. Now, I don't know what that means. You know, does that mean he's going to take you out of your career into something else? Maybe, maybe not, probably not. But he's probably going to take you on some paths you otherwise would never have tread down. And so, you know, when we offer ourselves up to God like that and say, I don't care what you have for me, that's what I want to do. I think of the story that John Newton tells, you know, the former slave trader who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He once told a story, he made it up, but it makes a great theological point. He said, you know, imagine there are two angels in heaven. And there are two assignments that God has to give out. One assignment is to go to planet Earth and to live a life of luxury and rule over the most flourishing country on the planet as their great king or leader. That's one assignment. The other assignment is to go to the dirtiest, filthiest place on planet Earth and clean out the sewers. And what John Newton said is, it would be completely irrelevant to those angels who got which assignment. It wouldn't matter to them which assignment they got. Why? Because if this is the assignment God wants to give you, then that's the assignment that you want to have. And that when we feel ill-equipped to do something, God will equip us. And when we feel scared, he will undergird us and he will draw us close. And he will take us on adventures that we otherwise never would have had. But it's irrelevant to go sweep the streets of the dirtiest city or to rule over the most successful, opulent city on the planet. Doesn't matter. What matters is, are you doing what God wants you to do? And you're never going to be fully satisfied unless you are. And so that's why I say, if you pray, God, here I am, wholly available, use me in 2018, use me as you've never used me before. That just opens the door to God doing something in your life that maybe you've been resisting, that you haven't been open to, that you're afraid of. I mean, there have been so many times when I've been scared to death. I could think of going into some hostile places in South India in the middle of the night, in areas where Christians are not particularly welcome, trying to share Jesus in these little villages, and being scared to death, but knowing I really believe this is where God wants me. And if God wants me here, then this is where I want to be. And sure enough, God, as you say, Hank, he always shows up. And that's the great joy, is to see how he shows up. He equips us. He uses us in ways we never thought we could be used. I mean, here I was a journalist at the Chicago Tribune. I wasn't a public speaker. I didn't know anything about writing a sermon. And yet God said, I want to take you into the ministry and have you preaching at some of the largest churches in North America. Well, really? Then you better equip me to do that, because I have no idea how I'm going to do that on my own. And sure enough, he provides the wisdom. He provides the experiences that we need to fulfill the mission he's given us in life. And the key thing is, he has given us a mission that matters. That matters. You know, this is not some trivial pursuit. He's going to take you on a mission that really matters. I remember one day, I was at the Chicago Tribune. This is before I was a Christian. And I went into what's called the morgue at the newspaper, which back then is where they kept all the clips. They would take every article in the Chicago Tribune, they would clip it out of the newspaper, and they would fold it up and file it under the topic of the article so that we could do research, you could look it up. So they had this vast room full of these small envelopes filled with clips from the Chicago Tribune going back 100 years. So one day I went into the morgue and I said, I need to see all my clips. And they brought me this huge file, just crammed with all these little envelopes with every article I'd ever written for the Chicago Tribune. So they put this on a desk, and I looked at it, and I said, wait a minute, is this what I'm trading my life for? For yellowing clips from a newspaper? Is this how I'm spending my life? I mean, I know some good things are happening as a result of the articles, but really? Is this what life is about? Writing things down, printing them in a newspaper, and watching them turn brittle and yellow in a drawer somewhere. And I said, there's got to be more to life than this.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Christian apologist and journalist Lee Strobel. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you the Case for Christ movie. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. and make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious Kingdom Change agents won't want to miss.